It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Center stage. Good afternoon. Welcome. President Biden delivered his first speech to the UN General Assembly today.
Thank you. God bless you all.
From COVID to the climate, the president spoke for more than half an hour, striking a conciliatory tone before 100 heads of state in Lower Manhattan.
I stand here today for the first time in 20 years with the United States not at war.
The general thrust of the General Assembly address was multilateralism. In other words, a continued reversal of the Trump America First doctrine.
We are not seeking a new Cold War or a world divided into rigid blocks.
Biden said the U.S. will commit $15 billion toward the global COVID response and promised to pursue a clean energy economy amid a borderless climate crisis. Conservative columnist Mark Thiessen.
He talked about improving the lives of people across the world and advancing human dignity around the world. How can the president say that when he literally just consigned the people of Afghanistan to unspeakable tyranny under the Taliban? There's no dignity for the people of Afghanistan. It's really frustrating to watch a president mouth words that are completely opposite from his actions on the global stage.
The president referred to as heroes those 13 U.S. service members who were killed at the Kabul airport during our rush to exit Afghanistan. And speaking of Afghanistan, American war vets are there right now, leading secret missions in the Taliban-controlled country, rescuing our allies who are trapped behind enemy lines.
There are still tens of thousands of at-risk Afghans we made a promise to get out of there. So this is going to be a long game. We're not giving up, but winter is coming.
Retired Green Beret Scott Mann says the combat vets who've joined the rescue mission have quit their day jobs, many of them, and dedicated their lives to the people of Afghanistan.
A lot of these veterans have been on a one-month-long 911 dispatch call, and these are already, pretty severely traumatized people, but they're not going to give up, and that's our message to the Afghan people, to their families. We're not going to give up. We're going to find ways to continue to get you to safety and hopefully to freedom.
Mann says time is not on their side, and neither is the weather.
Keeping at-risk Afghans and American citizens alive right now is a very heavy lift for the private sector. And winter is coming, and winter in Afghanistan is no fun. We've got people that are wounded. We've had women giving birth in safe houses. This is going to be a humanitarian lift that we're really going to need some help with.
Images have emerged of Border Patrol agents on horseback snatching up Haitian immigrants on the run in Del Rio, Texas. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas was at the border yesterday.
We have reiterated that our borders are not open. If you come to the United States illegally, you will be returned.
Former White House aide Stephen Miller.
It is a lie from Secretary Mayorkas, who is a pathological liar. They're making a small show out of deporting a handful of people while thousands of Haitians have been led into the country.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott says he's getting no support whatsoever from the White House.
I have not yet heard from the president during his entire presidency concerning the border. The Biden administration refuses to even pretend as though there's a crisis.
6,000 illegal immigrants huddled under a border bridge in South Texas have been sent home to Haiti. Thousands more remain there. COVID deaths in this country now top 675,000. Why is that number significant?
It's another tragic threshold in the country's battle with COVID-19. There are now about as many deaths in the U.S. from the coronavirus as there were more than a century ago from the 1918 flu epidemic. CBS's Dr. David Agus.
The United States was one of the first to have a major rollout of vaccines, and then the problem is we stalled. We're in the mid-50% range, and that's too low a number to block spread of the Delta variant at the present time.
And right now, no one is guessing how high the COVID death toll might go.
Correspondent Steve Foderman, the largest trees in the world are so far safe from California's devastating wildfires. Correspondent Aaron McLaughlin.
Some of the world's largest and most iconic trees are just feet from the flames. Teams of firefighters are racing against time to save historic redwoods from a raging wildfire tearing through the Sequoia National Forest.
An ancient grove of giant sequoias, including the so-called Four Guardsmen and the General Sherman, have been spared from the fire, which was started by a lightning strike earlier this month. Those trees have been protected with fire-resistant coverings. Well, you don't know the name, but you've probably seen the video. George Holliday, the Los Angeles man who shot footage of Rodney King's takedown by police in 1991, well, George Holliday has just died.
Dramatic videotape obtained by Channel 5 News shows what appears to be a group of LAPD officers beating a suspect.
The video showed white four cops punching and kicking Rodney King during a traffic stop. They were all acquitted at their trial, sparking one of the worst race riots in U.S. history. Holliday died from complications with COVID. He was 61. Still to come on the Noon Report, parents sue over face mask rule. Bats are back in Pennsylvania, and why toys could be scarce this Christmas.
Well, a very good afternoon to all. We've got changes ahead in our weather over the next couple of days. I will detail those changes coming up in our forecast in 10 minutes.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Let's check the headlines from New York and Pennsylvania next. New York Governor Kathy Hochul went public today with an updated game plan to increase the COVID vaccination rate among school-age children. It's part of her Vax to School campaign and involves setting up 120 pop-up vaccination sites near schools.
There has never been a playbook on how you deal with a global pandemic. All we do is based on the science and the data in front of us. The overall objective, keeping people safe, also coincides with educating our kids. We cannot forego the opportunity for kids to be in classroom as long as we ensure their safety and the safety of the students around them.
Meanwhile, a federal lawsuit's now been filed challenging the governor's mask rule in school. This legal action has been taken by parents who claim their rights and the rights of their kids are being violated because they say the facial coverings cause harm. Many kids complain of headaches, anxiety, and depression due to having to wear a mask 8 hours a day.
We've been stripped of our right to take care of our children and handed it over to somebody else, whether it's a school district, whether it's the governor. Parents no longer have a say in what's happening with their children. And that really is scary.
Governor Hochul announced the mask rule in school last month, arguing it is the best way to avoid a return to remote learning as COVID cases continue to climb. Nearly 800 Buffalo Bills fans have turned in their season tickets due to a requirement that they be vaccinated before attending home games at Highmark Stadium. Also keeping Bills fans away, many of them, new restrictions north of the border. Fans from Canada still not allowed entry into this country.
After all this time where the Bills were bad during my fandom, for them now to get good and for me not to be able to go, it's heartbreaking.
That's Nick Fanning, a Bills season ticket holder from Ontario, Canada.
It's stupid to me that a British fan could potentially go to more games right now than I can just a two-hour drive away from Buffalo.
The Biden administration extending the border ban north of Buffalo until at least October 21st. This fan is frustrated by what he sees as arbitrary COVID rules.
I think that's more where my and a lot of other Canadian Bills fans' frustration lies, is the one-way streetness of the border closure. At least that's my perception of it.
U.S. citizens who are fully vaccinated can enter Canada, but Canadians are not allowed to come to America. The Catholic Health Workers Union in Buffalo set to strike October the 1st if they cannot reach a new contract deal. That story, new at noon, from Family Life's Dee Haley.
A new survey featuring Catholic health workers showed severe staffing shortages are affecting the quality of patient care. As a result, the CWA Local 1133 has presented Mercy Hospital with a 10-day notice of intent to strike. The CWA represents more than 2,500 frontline workers at Catholic Health's Mercy Hospital of Buffalo, Kenmore Mercy Hospital, and Sisters of Charity Hospital, St. Joseph's Campus. Catholic Health is reportedly refusing to settle a fair contract that will allow the hospital system to attract and retain the workers needed. The union announced it will hold a news conference this afternoon. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
All right, Dee, thank you. A shooting on the west side of Binghamton has forced the high school into full remote learning mode today. At least a dozen shots fired just a block away from Binghamton High School. The district says it's going remote both as a safety precaution and to assist city police with their investigation. 14 people remain hospitalized in Pennsylvania after a bus carrying high school students from a church there crashed in Schuylkill County. State police still looking into the cause.
Where the bus is driving for 20 hours, was fatigue a possibility? I'm just theorizing. They're all the things, because we're going to find out all these things because we're going to get it right. So we will touch on everything.
The bus crashed through a guardrail and came to a stop in some woods on I-81 near Tremont. Those on board were youth volunteers from the LCBC Church in Lancaster County. Three remain in critical condition. A North Country man who made the ultimate sacrifice in Korea more than 70 years ago finally laid to rest in upstate New York.
Hadley, New York native Walter Smead was laid to rest with full military honors at Saratoga National Cemetery, 71 years after the U.S. Army Corporal gave his life in the Korean War. Smead was listed as missing in action in 1950, then presumed dead in 1953. But his family had to wait decades until his and other remains were recovered and brought back to the U.S. in 2018. Smead's remains were positively identified by DNA testing in March of this year. Nearly 40,000 American service members were killed in action during the Korean War. Mark Webster, Family Life News.
All right, Mark, thank you for that. Experts are warning toys this Christmas are likely to be in short supply, a combination of backlogs, fewer workers, and supply chain bottlenecks, the reason why. Kelly Kloss at Clayton's Toys in Williamsville is running low on inventory.
And it's only becoming more pressing, and we actually have companies that have already told us no more orders for the rest of the year. We won't be able to fulfill them.
Supply chain expert Jack Ampuja says the trickle-down effect from COVID in Asia is being felt in stores in this country.
The other half of the problem is there's a big backup in Asia, Vietnam, China, even Singapore. They're very hard on COVID. If you get a single COVID case, the government shuts down the entire port for a week. So nothing goes out. Supply chain issues galore.
He says not only will you see fewer toys in stores this Christmas, they'll probably cost you more as well. Bats are nature's only flying mammal, and they appear to be making a comeback in Pennsylvania. Family Life's Tracy Lynn says that's good for the environment and your health.
Scientists say the return of bats will mean less bugs that can damage crops, and that means farmers don't need to use as much pesticide. Bats eat tons of insects, about 25% of their body weight with each feeding. Penn State Extension notes one bat colony of 100 little brown bats eats more than 250,000 mosquitoes each year. At the turn of the century, Pennsylvania was home to tens of thousands of bats feasting on flying insects. Then white-nose syndrome wiped out much of the species. Now researchers at the University of Michigan are finding bats resistant to the fungal disease. In Pennsylvania, bats also seem to be adapting to white-nose syndrome. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
All right, thank you, Tracy. Sports next. We call it the 2-Minute Drill with Sonny Delfiette.
Yeah, let's start with Monday Night Football. It was the Aaron Jones show. He had something special planned in his first game back at Lambeau Field since his father's death in April. The Green Bay Packers running back came out in last night's home opener against the Detroit Lions wearing a necklace that contained Alvin Jones Sr.'s ashes in a football-shaped medallion. Along the way to his 4-touchdown game of the Packers' 35-17 victory, Jones lost the necklace.
I scored and it fell off in the end zone, so I'll go look for it, but I know he's happy. He'd be happy. He was like, if you lose it anywhere, lose it in the end zone. So.
You haven't found it?
I haven't.
But the good news, the grounds crew located the medallion this morning. To the diamond, the Yankees plated 3 runs in the third, holding off the Rangers 4-3 in the Bronx and climbing a half game out of the American League wild card. Aaron Boone.
My biggest thing right now is I want us to play well, and if we play well, the results will take care of themselves.
Shane Bass pitched 2-hit ball for 5 innings to win his Major League debut for the American League East leading Tampa Bay Rays. They beat Toronto 6-4 in Cleveland.
Oh, indeed. High in the air, deep left field, and that
that is home run number 46 for Salvador Perez.
Salvador Perez passed Johnny Bench for the most home runs by a player who primarily plays catcher, as the Royals took both games of a doubleheader against Cleveland, winning game 1, 7-2 in the nightcap, 4-2. Perez is tied with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for the most home runs in Major League Baseball. National League, the Phillies are 4.5 games out of the wild card after the Orioles blank them 2-0. Joe Girardi.
It's not how you want to start the homestand, but it doesn't tell the whole story, you know. We got to turn it around tomorrow, and let's see what happens the rest of the week.
The Pirates up 5-0 on Cincinnati, lose 9-5. And in Miami.
And that one kicks away. It goes to the backstop. Oh, my goodness.
The Marlins walked off the Nationals 8-7 in 10 innings as Jazz Chisholm scored on a wild pitch from Washington's Sam Clay. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
What a way to end a ballgame. Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on the Noon Report, President Biden at the UN. See you at the poll tomorrow. And reversing Roe, a key abortion case before the U.S. Supreme Court.
When the church is divided, that's something to mourn. But is it ever okay to leave a congregation? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. All of the pandemic policies, social unrest, and political division that's left so much of our culture on edge has created quite a bit of chaos in churches, too. Just a few weeks ago, in a blog at Mere Orthodoxy, Pastor Michael Graham offered a new way to categorize how Christians are reorganizing in the wake of all of the chaos. Long gone are the days when believers joined a church down the street. Even denominational loyalties, theological convictions, and worship style are not considered as important as they used to be. More and more often, Graham suggests, church shoppers are prioritizing political and social convictions. And the shopping process itself involves a kind of spycraft, with phrases like social justice or the sanctity of marriage seen as stealth signs of belonging to one side of the aisle or the other. Of course, the risk of judging an entire congregation or denomination wrongly via this process is dangerously high. Not to mention, most of the buzzwords causing all the problems are left undefined when so much is at stake, and that's just unhelpful. In short, the way the fracturing of evangelicalism is happening is mostly not good, leaving churches over politically charged disagreements without taking any time to explore the motives, the practices, and beliefs behind them. That's just not biblically permissible. Leaving a church should be a last resort, like the choice to break up a family, not a first resort, as if we're disgruntled shoppers. Of course, even a quick look at the motives, practices, and beliefs of some church leaders, congregations, and denominations will reveal problems that have to be addressed. In other words, driving past six churches, some of them even big and shiny, in order to find the one faithful to the gospel is a tragic but very real necessity for many. Christians will find help in these matters in the various metaphors that Christ has given us for his church in Scripture. Though living into these various biblical metaphors is incredibly difficult, it's not difficult at all to see that it's a different metaphor dominating our approach to church these days. In short, Christians approach churches often as consumers. We're too picky when it comes to where we worship and why. We want the songs we like. We want the preacher that speaks to us. However, consumerism is a problem for churchgoers primarily because it's first a problem for churches. Pastors face enormous pressure to fill pews and minimize conflict. Often they're hired for their fidelity to the scriptures and tasked with discipling a congregation, but then are evaluated by completely different metrics. In the end, if you give the people what they want, it will rarely be the hard truths of the gospel. In this, evangelical fracturing is simply not new. It's still sad. In the past, God has used fracturing to accomplish pruning. After all, it's his church. He'll protect it even from itself. For our part, at least as much time and effort should be spent evaluating the motives and the criteria we employ in leaving or joining a church as is spent evaluating the church that we plan to leave or join. Churches that misuse or rewrite the Bible, who choose the approval of men over God, who serve temporal power more than the kingdom of God should be left. At the same time, all those biblical metaphors matter. We're family, not isolated gatherings of consumers. The issues matter because truth matters, because morality matters, because people matter, not because these issues are politically hot buttons. More important than finding a church we like is finding that we are the church that Christ leads, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Once that's in place, we can trust that anything else that we need will be added, as God is willing. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
20 past the hour, Kevin time on Family Life.
Here is your Family Life weather forecast for this afternoon. Partial sunshine in central New York and eastern Pennsylvania. Limited sun, clouds farther west. Couple of showers near Lake Erie. High temperatures 70s to near 80. Tonight, mainly cloudy. A few showers around. Temperatures dropping only back into the 60s. Tomorrow, showers, breezy. High temperatures 70s. A soaking rain tomorrow night. Tapering on Thursday and cooler with temperatures falling, if not through the 60s, at least into the 60s during the course of the day.
All right, Kevin, thank you. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price, and a lot going on this Tuesday, the 21st of September, from the global pandemic to climate change. President Biden had plenty to say at the UN General Assembly today. He spoke to the world body for the first time as president this morning.
U.S. military power must be our tool of last resort, not our first. It should not be used as an answer to every problem we see around the world. Bombs and bullets cannot defend against COVID-19. To fight this pandemic, we need a collective act of science and political will.
The commander-in-chief said the U.S. does not want another Cold War, and he vowed to keep nukes away from Iran and North Korea. Mr. Biden also made a big deal about the end of the war in Afghanistan.
We've ended 20 years of conflict in Afghanistan. And as we close this period of relentless war, we're opening a new era of relentless diplomacy. This is a fundamental truth of the 21st century. Within each of our countries, our own success is bound up in others succeeding as well.
Conservative columnist Mark Thiessen.
It really is important if we want a speech to be effective. The words have to match the actions, right? That if there's a disconnect between the words and the actions, then the speech becomes ridiculous. And the disconnect between Biden's words and Biden's actions is stark here. And they are not congruent with the actions he's taking in office, then they become a joke.
The president called those 13 U.S. service members killed in our rush to leave Afghanistan heroes, but he failed to mention the botched drone strike that left 10 of our Afghan allies dead. The U.S. Department of Homeland Security sending in another 600 agents to the border in Del Rio, Texas, where thousands of refugees camped out under a bridge are being deported back to Haiti.
We have a responsibility not only to the well-being of the migrants themselves, but the well-being of the local communities and the American public.
Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas was in Del Rio yesterday. Former ICE Director Tom Homan says this is a crisis of the Biden administration's own making.
Talking to a senior Border Patrol command official, he told me we have lost control of the border. We are overwhelmed. And that comes from the men and women wearing green on the border that's doing the job.
15,000 Haitians have fled that country for the U.S. to escape poverty, crime, and natural disaster. Many of them say if they are deported, they will die. The U.S. Supreme Court has set a date to hear a Mississippi abortion case that could unravel Roe v. Wade. That date is December 1st. Justices will listen to arguments over a law that bans abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Pro-life laws in other states, including a recently adopted fetal heartbeat law in Texas, they hang in the balance here, depending on how the court rules on the Mississippi law. Thousands of pro-life activists are expected to attend Pennsylvania's first ever March for Life. It's coming up Monday, September 27th.
Texas abortionist turned pro-life activist Abby Johnson will be among the featured speakers at the massive pro-life event. Buses from all over the Family Life listening area will be making the trip. To find out more, go to pafamily.org. The rally starts at 11 a.m., followed by a march around the state capitol building at 12 noon. Since the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, 2.5 million unborn babies have lost their lives to abortion in Pennsylvania alone. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
All right, Brandon, thank you very much. And Family Life News will be at the March for Life Monday, September 27th. Next at noon, the face mask flap in New York State. Christian Central Academy near Buffalo fighting for the rights of students to unmask in the classroom. Earlier today, our own Bill Price caught up with the school's director of development, Michael O'Hara.
Last week, your effort to
have this mask mandate temporarily suspended while your case is being heard was rejected by a judge. What's the next step, Michael, in your legal fight against these mask mandates in New York?
Well, Bill, it's important for listeners to know that this fight is not just our own. It really can make a difference for a lot of people in Western New York, across New York. It may even have implications beyond New York State. The initial preliminary hearing, that was just really to put forth our case. And during that time, we were seeking a temporary injunction until the full hearing. Mm-hmm. And we were not granted an injunction, which we should be careful. That's not a decision against us. And that moves us to the actual hearing, which will be on October 1st.
Okay, so students and staff at that Christian school, they still have to mask up.
That's what's required, you know what, and we are following those guidelines. We are walking the balance of seeking to push back against certain laws that we think shouldn't apply based on the different measures we've taken to mitigate mm-hmm. COVID-19. We want to provide a mask option policy. So we've taken a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money to take certain measures so we could provide that mask option policy.
Yeah. For you guys, this is an issue of your survival, I guess. How big of a hit have you guys taken since these mask mandates have been imposed?
Well, it could be both, right? A financial piece. So we've decided to split classrooms so that students could be spaced 6 feet apart. That's twice as much as what the Department of Health requires. So we've done that for the kids' safety and so that we could provide mask optional policy. So that means if we split classrooms, you need more teachers. So we've spent about $175,000 on hiring more teachers, and we've also spent close to $30,000 on this very high-end air purifier that filters out 99.7% of COVID molecules and can scrub the entire air in one of our classrooms every single 9 minutes.
Yeah, wow.
So that's over 2,000 on the front end.
So you guys have done your homework with this virus, it sounds like, and from the sounds of it, students and staff there are perfectly safe without a face mask on.
Yeah, I mean, we all know since the beginning of the pandemic what has been the rule on spacing. You need to wear a mask if you're within 6 feet of someone else. So that's why we've, even though, and I understand, the people who have compromised is New York State. They are the ones that have compromised and said, we'll do 3 feet. Mm-hmm. And I understand the reasoning because kids were suffering by not being in 5-day-a-week in-person instruction. We didn't compromise. We've actually upheld self-imposed 6-foot spacing so that we could provide that safety, provide mask option policy. And to show a little bit of track record, Bill, we were in person 5 days a week last academic year, all but 11 days.
Wow. Yeah. So October 1st is the date we're looking at. Will a decision be made on that day, Michael?
It will. So so we are urging people that stand with us, stand with us in prayer. There are opportunities. People can help us support with legal fees. Through our website at christianca.com or on our Facebook page. There's, listings there. But really prayer for, as our slogan or our motto goes, is that we want our teachers, our faculty, our staff, and our students to grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. So we ask the listeners at Family Life to pray with Christian Central Academy for favor with those that are making decisions in this case.
Yeah. And finally, Michael, what's the end game here? If the judge rules against you guys, are we on a slippery slope as a society where the government can come in into private institutions, whether it's schools, it's churches, homes, and make these edicts? Are we on a slippery slope, in your opinion?
Bill, I think that just by virtue of you posing the question kind of says that, right? So I understand that there needs to be regulations in some ways, but I think the best people to regulate is themselves, especially when it comes to personal health issues. And so when it comes to matters of personal health, if it's good or not for their children to be wearing a mask, we leave that up to the parent. That's why we wanted to provide this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's various levels of comfort regarding that mask mandates. And we support whichever one that a parent decides.
That is Michael O'Hara with Christian Central Academy in Williamsville, New York.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. On the weather map, we continue to be bathed in warm air, but the approach of a cold front has sparked a few showers near Lake Erie. And that front's slow progression to the east will increase the chances of rain, as well as ultimately turn our temperatures downward by week's end. For this afternoon, partial sunshine in central New York and eastern Pennsylvania. Limited sun, clouds farther west, couple of showers near Lake Erie. High temperatures, 70s to near 80. Tonight, mainly cloudy, a few showers around, temperatures dropping only back into the 60s. Tomorrow, showers, breezy, high temperatures, 70s, a soaking rain tomorrow night, tapering on Thursday and cooler, with temperatures falling, if not through the 60s, at least into the 60s during the course of the day.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much at the Weather Center. And finally at noon today, see you at the poll. The 31st annual student-led prayer event is tomorrow around America and across the world. Students will gather for a time of public prayer at 7 a.m. at their school flagpole.
Students are being shredded right now. There is a higher level of anxiety. There's a higher level of fear. There's a higher level of disengagement with their school.
See you at the poll coordinator, Doug Clark.
So what more important thing than we could do than to encourage them to pray for each other and for their friends and for us as adults to pray for them.
See you at the poll started in Texas in 1990. There were 45,000 participants then. Tomorrow, over a million students in 65 countries will gather for a time of public prayer. And that's the world we live in, Tuesday, September 21st. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.